Welcome to the Bluegrass Bammer podcast. I'm Stephanie Boyd, your host. In case you didn't know, Bammer stands for Badass Mother Runner. This podcast will bring you stories from across Kentucky and beyond about badass women running and the people that support them. Let's get started. Hey guys, welcome to our second episode of the Bluegrass Bammer podcast. I'm really excited to bring you our guest today because she's one of my best running friends and she's a co-leader of the Moms Run This Town chapter. She runs this town chapter here in Louisville, Kentucky. I hope you enjoy our talk about her running journey and learn a little bit more about her in this very fun and casual podcast episode. Welcome back, everybody, to our second episode of the Bluegrass Bammer podcast. I'm here today with Allison Reed.
Hello.
Hi, Allison. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for inviting me.
Well, I'm very excited to have you on the podcast. And I have to say that this is a special podcast for me because Allison, I'm going to let Allison introduce herself too, but as a short introduction, Allison is one of the people who I met through my running group, Moms Run This Town, several years ago. 2 or 3 years ago?
2016.
Okay. So almost, well, 3 years ago this summer, we have known each other. We actually met at a group run, it was supposed to be a fun group run. I don't know how fun it was for Allison, but it was several of us that went on a group run together, and she just kept coming back for more. And eventually ended up talking me into signing up into all these races with her in 2017. I think we ran like 6 races together. We did our first duathlon, our first triathlons together, her first marathon together. So we have quite a running history together. And in the same space of time, we've gotten to know each other personally and our families. And so she's a really awesome and special friend of mine, and I wanted her to be my first live, real guest on the show. So thank you for being my guinea pig.
I'm honored. It's so exciting.
So for those that a lot of people listening already know who you are, just by nature of who the listeners are on the podcast, but I want you to just introduce yourself and tell me a little bit about how you got into running. And you can talk about how we met if you want, but that's not super important to this podcast. So,
well, the first time I ran 2 miles was actually in basic training. I very spontaneously and impulsively joined the Army at the age of 18. And I had never run a mile before, and I really have no clue what possessed me to do that. But I showed up to basic training, could not do a push-up, could not do a sit-up, and I think my first 2 mile run must have taken 35 minutes or something like that. So over the course in the next 5 years, I ran, you know, twice a year PT test, 2 miles to qualify or to meet the requirements. And I really did not like running at all. I ran basically because I had to. And so as soon as I got out of the Army, I said, I will never run again. It's not fun.
Never say never.
And so then I started college. In, you know, the freshman 15, I'm like, ooh, maybe I should go back to running. So I started running a little bit here and there just for fun. And then in grad school, a friend of mine said, do you want to run the Derby mini marathon? And I said, well, how many miles is that? She said 13.1. I was like, well, sure, why not? So I had no training plan. I knew nothing about nutrition. The longest run I ever did was 6 miles before the half. I went out to Myers the night before, bought a brand new outfit to wear, a 1/2 gallon of ice cream, and that was how I fueled and carb load, and yeah, it was interesting. So,
and what year was that?
That was 2005.
Okay.
I didn't like that at all. But I ran another half marathon that fall, and then did Derby half marathon 2006, 7, and 8, and then got married, had children, didn't think I would ever run again. And then somebody at work, I was just trying to figure out, I wanted to be more active and be more healthy after my girls were born, but I just felt so out of shape and so overweight and just felt really, you know, inferior to even go into a shoe store and pick out shoes or start running or go to the gym. But a friend of mine said, well, why don't you do the fall run-a-thon? And I never heard of that, but it's a series of races in the fall, a 5K, 10K, and a half marathon. And I got a training plan for the first time in my life and loved it. I loved gradually increasing my mileage.
Instead of just going out and trying
to
run.
Yeah. And I'm like, this is enjoyable. But I didn't think I could, I wasn't sure if I could do it. Mm-hmm. But then I met Becca Olson mm-hmm. at the YMCA, and I'm like, look, I know what I need to do. I've done these things before. I just can't figure out how to hold myself accountable. And she introduced me to Moms Run This Town. She runs this town. And it's just been, like, life-changing, mm-hmm. very life-changing. So I decided to do that fall run-a-thon, and I thought, you know what? I'm sure after this fall race, I'll probably take the winter off because I don't run when it's cold, and I don't run when it's snowing or raining. And if you knew me, if you know me now, you were probably laughing because I love cold weather running more than anybody. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wear few layers, and it's just, I don't know, I just love running in the cold. So I decided to volunteer to help with Moms Run This Town in order to hold myself accountable.
Right.
And to help, you know, feed off the motivation of the group. And that, you know, so that has really helped. Mm-hmm. And so now Stephanie and I co-lead this chapter, and it's really amazing. We have how many ladies?
It's over 1,500 now.
1,500 ladies.
A lot. There was like 300, I think, when I started.
Yeah. And what, you know, I was reflecting on some things this morning, and one thing I thought is, you know, you would suspect with a group of ladies that large, it would be full of drama and cattiness and competitiveness, and it's not. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not at all. Just the motivation and the encouragement and the support is amazing. And I truly, honestly cannot imagine my life without the friends from this group.
Yep.
I mean, I've had ladies write me handwritten notes and given me shoe tags, and I came home one day and there were warm homemade cinnamon rolls on my front porch. I've never in my life had a homemade cinnamon roll, and I'm sure that is quite an intense process. But this friend of mine that I met through running left that on my doorstep because my child had been sick for a week, and mm-hmm. she made a care packet for my child. And so, I mean, people always ask, like, why do you run? Or my mom will say, do you enjoy running? And I still stumble on ways to answer those questions. Mm-hmm. Why do I run? Do I enjoy it? But honestly, I can't figure out or identify a reason to stop. You know, there's just so right. many good things. I think that's what keeps me going.
So maybe there's not one why right. you run. There's multiple whys. I think about that too. I think I wrote a blog last year and I said, what is your why? And there were at least 10 things that I listed.
Right.
So I really don't have an excuse to stop running at this point. You know, there's more reasons to run than to not run.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can totally see where you're coming from. So before you, when you ran, before you joined Moms Run This Town, did you run solo or did you run with men or?
Oh, I've never, I mean, in the military I ran with people, a little bit, but I've always run solo
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
with music. I never enjoyed the treadmill. I would try to trick myself into getting the miles by, okay, do 10 miles on the treadmill and then go do some sit-ups or, and change it up. I mean, I could not be on a treadmill longer than a mile. I would have to build in almost like a high-intensity type workout.
Mm-hmm.
I called it my attention deficit workout, where I would machine hop. I would do 10 minutes on a treadmill, 10 minutes on an elliptical, and just go through like that to build up my endurance. And initially, my endurance was, I remember doing 18 minutes and thinking that was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing, you know, mm-hmm. to start at that level and build up. So
thinking about, you know, how you started running and now, so now you're maintaining and you're running your year round. You're not
yes.
taking breaks when you,
never.
When you're running and you're training for something. Well, sometimes you're not training for something, but.
But I always have a plan.
You always have a training plan that you're following regardless.
Sometimes I make it up as I go along, but I always set goals day to day and,
yeah.
Or week to week. I always have a plan, for sure. That is very, very helpful
mm-hmm.
for me.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I reflected on this morning, sorry, I swam this morning and the pool was empty and it was quiet and I had way too much time in my head. But you know, I think one thing that's really awesome about running and this might sound weird at first, but just hang with me. In grad school, we spent a great deal of time studying developmental milestones. And then, you know, I became a mom, and I just remember watching my children, all their first step, their first time feeling the grass, and their first time seeing a butterfly, you know, just the excitement. And you hear so many moms say, I just love seeing the world through my children's eyes. And I think that's great and that's wonderful. And you know, I love my girls more than anything else.
Right.
But then I'm like, you know, what first do we have as adults, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, high school, some of us did college, you get your first job, your first car, your first house.
Right.
Get married.
I'm with you.
Do job thing, you know, careers, you get your career going.
Mm-hmm.
And then it seems like all the first, they're through your children or they're through. And so I'm like, there's got to be something more. And I think that's what running gives me. One of the things is first, the first 5K, the first 10K, the first half. Then you drug me into my first marathon.
Mm-hmm. And then, screaming out.
Then, you know, Marion and Jeanette, they drug me into, dared me, double dog dared me into my first trail half. And the most insane thing to me that just sounded horrible was the thought of running through the woods in the middle of the night and sleeping in a tent. And I paid money to do that, my first overnight trail relay. And then it was you, Stephanie, that conned me into my first triathlon, purchasing a bike. And
I think that was your idea. That was not my idea.
I don't know. But there's just been so many firsts. And so I find just as much excitement. I find so much excitement in having first again, you know, setting goals and achieving them, you know, and just having that focus again. I don't know. So that's exciting.
No, I think that's an interesting perspective. And now, so now your girls are older. Do you feel like they're not old by any means? They're nine and...
My oldest is almost nine. My youngest is 6 and a half.
So they're, but they are more independent than they were just a few years ago when you started running. So a lot of moms in our group or moms that I talk to talk about how they balance, you know, going out to get exercise, not even to train for a race, but just, I need to go out and run 2 miles because that is my stress relief, is the way that I feel like I'm getting maybe towards a goal in weight loss or whatever their goal is. But how they do that and not feel guilty when they leave and not feel guilty the whole time they're gone, which is counterintuitive to the point of going out and trying to do something for yourself. If you're feeling guilty the whole time, it's not really enjoyable, right? So how do you, looking back when the girls were smaller, and even now, so you're training for your first 70.3, and that's been very intensive in terms of the amount of time that you spend away from your family. So how do you kind of reconcile that time, you know, because as moms, I think we try to bank time sometimes and try to make up for it later, but we all only have so much time in the day.
No,
so what, how do you, your training has taken a lot more time recently than mine. So I have my own thoughts about how to balance, but what, how do you make it enjoyable? How do you keep it enjoyable?
I mean, I still, every time I leave the house and I'm gone on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning, I still feel a little guilt, and I wonder if the girls are having a good day and if my husband's having a good morning. But I'm very fortunate to have a supportive husband and supportive family, supportive parents and whatnot. But I think as my training has gotten more intense, the biggest thing I've learned to do, and I'm not a morning person by any means. I mean, I... Just a couple years ago, I'd stay up till 3:30 in the morning watching Sons of Anarchy and stuff. But I've realized I have to go to bed early. Sleep, first of all, sleep is so important. And I'm in a better mood when I sleep better. So that is important. But go to bed earlier. And most of my, I try to get as much of my workout done before 7 a.m. Before the,
God,
the
you're such an early riser.
I sent some... a message to a friend yesterday, my alarm was set for 4:30 and it's unbelievable. I would never imagine that. I try to do as much as I can early in the mornings, and that's a sacrifice. Not many people enjoy getting up that early.
Nope.
But it's important to me to have as much time available with my girls and my husband as possible. Saturdays, you know, Sunday mornings, I do try to sleep in a little longer, but I try to get my workouts done as early as possible.
Yeah.
And I explain to my girl, you know, I share my goals with my family.
Right.
And let them know.
Do you have a calendar up at home?
I do have a calendar up on the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. I don't know that anybody in my family actually looks at that calendar, but I do have one up there. And
I bet they do look at it. You don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I try to, if I do have two heavy train days back to back, when I get home, I try to be on it. You know, I try to, I think it would probably feel wonderful and great to curl up on the couch and take a nap, but I try to stay engaged and plan activities with them.
Yeah. So, and to add to this, Allison also works. So it's not like, you know, she does have time available during the daytime when the girls are at school all the time because she has to work.
I do work. I mean, I am fortunate. I do work part time. But I'm not going to lie, even working part time and raising a family and all the things that go along with it, extracurriculars for the girls. I mean, I'm like, my house is a hot mess right now. And that's okay. I'm okay with that.
Right.
You know, most days girls have clean clothes.
Yeah.
My youngest is without a toothbrush right now, but I'm going to get her one today, I promise. I've been saying that for like 3 days.
But that stuff might happen if you weren't training, too.
Yeah.
Like, life is just busy and things happen. So you can't always blame that on training either, right?
Right.
Yeah. So you have to be gentle with yourself, I think, too.
Oh, absolutely.
And forgiving. And I think as my kids get older, they're 11 and 9 now, they are more engaged in the process versus being a bystander or like a thing that I have to schedule around. Mm-hmm. So I can go and run 2 or 3 miles and they can even go with me now or ride their bike.
Right.
If I'm in a pinch and I don't mind for them to go. There are some days where I just want to go and be by myself, but it is nice. I tell moms that have younger kids, it does get a little bit easier as your kids get older.
Absolutely.
And there's a little less guilt, I think, involved than when they're toddlers or infants and they really want their mom around.
Exactly. Because now their greatest joy is playing with neighborhood children. So, you know, they're pretty much entertained while I'm gone. And I do the same thing that you do. You know, sometimes we pack up their bikes and go to the parklands and I run. It's a speed workout for me. I run really fast to try and keep up with them. And then we communicate, you know, if you get too far ahead, stop and let me catch up and stuff. But I think you have to get creative. I think it's a great way to get creative and work it in, you know, if you can swim laps with your kids or take them to the pool, do bike rides together, even hiking as some cross training is nice. Well, we just did that hike recently with the kids during spring break. So, you know, it's not the same level of intensity, but cross training, easy training.
You still feel good when you're
finished.
It's so
beneficial. Yeah, it's so beneficial.
You can still feel good when you finish, even if it's not like this push workout that you have.
Not every workout. And that's one thing I'm really trying to learn and work on. Not every workout needs to be max heart rate. And I mean, I have a really hard time with that. I think it's no secret that I just want to push. And so I'm trying to embrace lower heart rate, like zone 1, 2, 3 type workouts. So anything for me.
So what do you think is probably, what has changed the most since you started racing, when you restarted racing, you know, signing up for races, when the fall run-a-thon that you signed up for and started training for? Fast forward to now, you've ran several longer distance races, you're training for a half Ironman. What are you doing different now what have you learned that you're doing differently now that you see has helped improve your performance overall?
Hands down, number one top thing that has changed my performance is sleeping.
That's my dog in the background.
Sorry.
Sleep.
Yeah. Is so important. That restoration, I think, is so important. Hydration is so important. I have to make myself drink water year round. I could literally go all day. I rarely get thirsty. So I've been tracking the water intake. We do monthly challenges in our group, in February, there was a hydration challenge, and that really opened my eyes. So every day since February 1st, I've tracked every ounce of water that I've consumed. And I've slacked this week, and I can tell. I just wake up, and I don't feel as well, almost, you know, like a headache or just not as great. And then nutrition. Nutrition is just
It's a learning process.
I don't even know what to say about nutrition.
So with the water, how do you track that?
In MyFitnessPal.
Okay. So you have an app that you use. Some people may not know about it.
Yeah. Okay. And actually, honestly, since January 1st or early in this year, I started tracking my food, my nutrition as well, just to see how much I was eating. Was I eating enough? Was I eating too much? And I've tried everything, you know, to figure out what works well for me.
Right.
I've done high fat, low carb, high carb, low fat. I mean, it just, and I've met with a great a dietitian twice that's helped me identify how much to consume, how many calories to consume.
Right.
And it's important, and it is changing. I mean, I hear, you know, we all joke as runners about how hungry we are and going for a run and eating all this food. For the first time in my life, I'm training more than I ever have, and I'm not hungry. And your husband's a dietitian, and he's great, and he would say, if you're hungry, you're not doing something right.
That's right.
And I completely agree with that. I've increased my carbs. I'm eating more carbs now than I ever have. I will say, you know, when I sat down with Donna and the dietitian, and I was like, you know, I want to lose weight.
Right.
And she was like, no, that's not the goal. And I'm like, what do you mean? I mean, I kind of binge ate from October to December, Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, knowing I was training for a 70.3, thinking I'll lose all this weight. And she goes, you don't want to be in a calorie deficit during your training.
Right.
You don't want to be losing weight during your training. So I've embraced that. And I told her, I gave her specific goal weight for what I wanted to be the day I towed the line. And I'm, you know, I'm 15 pounds over that at least. And so, but I'm just embracing that. And I'm really eating more to fuel my body. So, and it makes a big difference. I don't want to, I mean, I should knock on wood or something, but I have not had issues with muscle cramping, rarely sore, not really ever sore.
So what about like running stitches when you run? Do you have those?
No, I've had one this training cycle, and I think I had an incident on the bike with a truck, and that really got me fired up.
Yeah.
And
so your heart rate was
when I jumped off the bike and I was doing a brick, and when I went to run, it was, yeah, I had a side stitch. I couldn't, it's funny. It was the shortest training session of the season. I literally rode 20 minutes, rode 20 minutes on my bike, and I had to run 1 mile, and it was the hardest workout.
Yeah.
I had these side stitches, but, no, I don't get cramps, GI distress during running has pretty much diminished. And I just hope for all of us on race day, you know, to continue. But it's something I really work hard at, the nutrition piece.
I think I discounted that earlier on in my training for races. I just thought if I ate enough calories and drank 90 ounces of water, it would be fine. And, you know, running's supposed to be a really cheap sport where you just buy running shoes and you go out and run. And you know, so my husband is a dietitian. He's really helped, but I think I do see women in the group who joke about, well, it is a running joke. I think always runners, once you're in high, you're in your peak weeks of training, you are starving. And that's always a joke, but it really shouldn't be that way. And when I see women in the group, I want to refer them, when they say that, I want to refer them right away to a dietitian. And like, you may need to tweak something if you're,
absolutely,
or you're probably not eating enough. You think you're eating enough calories, but if you're not tracking it, it's really hard to try to eyeball something and even remember later what you ate and write it down.
Absolutely.
So
I have to try harder than I thought to hit my calories.
It's hard.
And then sometimes calories will add up quickly if you start, you know, eating food that's not healthy, you know. So
exactly, yeah.
It's easy to go over, but sometimes it's also easy, you know, it's difficult to meet the calorie needs when you're eating healthy foods too.
Yep.
And also another thing while we're talking about sometimes runners thinking hunger is normal, or the other thing is discomfort and pain. I think a lot of runners want to push through pain and soreness that probably, you know, getting out, there's going to be some growing pains. But there's so many components.
Do you want to tell people what you do for a living?
We can say that. Well, I mean, I'm an occupational therapist. Right. And my specialty is not sports or sports medicine by any means. But I do, you know, I've had anatomy, physiology, obviously. My background is neuro-based with specialty in brain injury and stroke. I know how the body operates, and I know through a lot of my own trial and error, what's normal, what's not normal. And I mean, actually just recently I've been struggling with like a calf issue and plantar fascia issue almost a year. And I texted Stephanie how embarrassed I was that I hadn't addressed it sooner and that I couldn't figure out what it was. And I go to great running stores. I love them all. And I just trust them to fit me for shoes. And somewhere along the way last year, I was switched from neutral to stability. I didn't look. I didn't check. Mm-hmm. I trusted.
Sure.
And what they saw and how they evaluated. And I thought, well, you know, I have calf pain. I'm training for, you know, a new race, and that's part of it. And I got new shoes last week. Back to neutral, the pain is gone. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's so many things to look at. Don't just accept that pain as
right. Or don't try to push through it.
Right, or this is just because I'm training for my first marathon and whatnot. I mean, the pain is telling us something.
Yeah.
Whether it's a hydration issue, nutrition issue, tightness, weakness, something as simple as different shoes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we kind of hope it'll just go away.
Yeah.
So that we don't have to fool with it, or we're in denial that it's an issue. And I do see, we see that a lot with new runners, is they'll try to go out. They do a couple of things, probably not in the best form or fashion, which is they try to just go out and run a mile with no conditioning whatsoever, and they can't. They're wearing incorrect type of shoes, which causes knee pain or joint pain, and in general, musculoskeletal pain. And they're not properly hydrated, or they haven't eaten correctly. So there's this, and it's individual for every person.
Right.
So even what worked for you when you were training for, say, a half marathon is not going to be the same as what works for you when you're training for a triathlon. And, you have to be okay with evaluating and constantly readjusting. So I think that's another thing that I know I've learned, and I've seen you do.
Oh,
and see you just perfect over, you know, just continue to perfect it over each race and each training cycle. Because
you have to listen to your body. You have to be so in tune with your body and listen to it when it will tell, it will give you little messages, and they will be quiet whispers. And that's when you need to address it. And if you're on target with your nutrition, your hydration, your shoes feel great, I mean, then at that point, it's time to maybe take rest or go see, maybe somebody that can help you figure this out, a specialist or something.
There is such a thing as overtraining, even if you're not training for a race.
Absolutely. A lot of people, you know, bumping mileage up too quickly. Is something that can really you back. We all have done. I mean, no, I've done every bad habit that we've talked about. And, you know, like I said, most recently I wore the wrong kind of shoes for almost a year. And I was able to keep the pain tolerable, and I could get it to go away, but it kept coming back. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy.
Well, your wealth of knowledge in terms of what you would advise to other runners, and I've seen you do it in our running group, so I'm always grateful that you're there to do that. But I want to talk now about what you're currently training for. So Alice and I, we signed up for our first triathlon together, and for whatever reason, we thought our first triathlon would be great to give a go in an open water swim that was actually longer than a normal sprint distance, and the bike was longer than a normal sprint distance. So it was almost like an Olympic, except for the run portion. I mean, it was really weird. We signed up for this weird open water triathlon. And we trained really hard for this.
Did we?
We did. Because, well, I don't know about you, but I couldn't formally swim.
No, I had never swam a lap in my life.
Neither one of us. I mean, we get on a pool noodle and, like, we are out on the lake just cruising along. I could probably swim from one side of the lake to the other, but I would be dead or exhausted at that time in my life. Swimming wasn't a necessity. It was a leisure thing. and never formally had swim lessons, and Allison either. And so for whatever reason, we thought it would be a great idea for around our birthday, because we both have birthdays in June, that we would go do this triathlon together. So we did. We really struggled. I mean, we would go to the pool together, like, as essentially pushing each other in, because neither one of us wanted to get in the pool and swim. Neither one of us had a bike.
We spent 42 minutes talking and 12 minutes swimming.
I don't even know if I spent 12 minutes swimming.
Oh my God.
So it was a process that we did learn together. And we had people supporting us that had done triathlons before, but we were really just in this together. And we went to our first triathlon and we were so hyped up. So many things happened that morning, but one thing that happened is they canceled the swim because the water was, flooded. And the water levels were, and we were so angry until we got to the start line and saw the white caps on a lake, on a reservoir. Oh, and we were like, oh, we're so glad we're not swimming in this. And my husband, who had done triathlons and had been swimming for a lot longer than me, was like, yeah, you all would have died. So that turned into our first duathlon. And so we wanted redemption and decided to sign up for Tri Indy right after that, because we were already trained. Why not? But Allison was like, we got out of that triathlon and she was like, we totally could have done the Olympic distance. And she just continued to move forward. And it was really cool to watch Allison, because I was still not comfortable with the swimming portion. Even though I could at that point swim, it wasn't fast, but I could swim. I wasn't drowning. But Allison just embraced this whole process. And I remember when we got done with Tri Indy, I was just like, this is Allison's thing. Like, she had grown up biking with her dad and was actually more comfortable on a bike than I was, for sure. And she just took off with it, and it was awesome to see her just in her thing. And so we get done with this triathlon, and she's like ready to go on and do an Olympic as soon as they cross the finish line. And I was like, I don't know, I kind of like sprint because it's fast and I can get it done and try to beat my time. And I'm kind of like that, and plus you get out of the water faster. And she was like, no, I think I'm going to experiment with this a little bit more. And so she has since then done Olympic, and now is training for Ironman Chattanooga, the 70.3, that's coming up in 4 weeks? Mm. Not even.
Oh my gosh, I can't talk about that.
So I have to say, I love Cindy, but I've learned a lot just watching you and some of the other ladies that are going train. And now I'm having complete FOMO, not necessarily of doing the race, but just going and
just
watching.
Just come with me. I think our Airbnb sleeps six.
Oh my.
I don't know.
Well, anyway, I know I have watched other people do triathlons, and I think it's just as much a sport to spectate at one than it is to actually do one. So it is fun. It is fun. But I want to talk about it and just, well, how are you feeling, first of all? Because now it's like downhill, right? I mean, you have like another peak training session this weekend, and then you're...
So the weird thing about this training session is I have this book, and it's probably 400 pages. I don't know. It's huge, and you pick out your training plan. Mm-hmm. And it's so different than a run training plan where it just says 4 miles, 6 miles. There's all these codes. It's like decoding. So it'll say SW3, and you have to look, what is SW3? So literally, I'm decoding all these recommendations week by week. That's how I've operated. Mm-hmm. I don't look ahead more than a week. I did go ahead and map out all of my weekends, because the race is May 19th. Uh-huh. So I know what's expected of me for the upcoming weeks. I just, I don't know. I just don't even know what to expect.
Yeah.
I'm trying to set goals in my head, and I'm trying to just go into it with the attitude that, you know, I'll PR no matter what.
Right.
You know, as long as I survive and cross the finish line.
Which you will.
I feel really good about my training.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like my training,
so on spot. Actually, sometimes I would be like, you would tell me what you did for the day, and I'm kind of watching what other people are doing. Not as closely as what I'm following you. And it's interesting because there are some days I'm like, she's doing way too much. Mm-hmm. But it's probably not. I mean, I would probably be doing the same thing depending on what training plan I'm following, because I'm one of those people, I do follow a training plan really well, like to the T almost. So, I mean, I'm pretty impressed that you've been able to stay really close to your training plan.
Yeah, no, and I feel great. I mean, there's different levels. You can do level 1 through 9 in this book that I have. And, you know, I started off, I kind of look at 1 through 4. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm trying to keep I don't want to overtrain. I do not want to get an injury. I do want to challenge myself, and I want to feel prepared. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always lots of variations in training plans. And there's nothing worse than getting halfway through a race and feel like regret that you undertrained.
Right.
There's nothing, I mean,
yeah.
Unless you're injured and you've overtrained. It's hard to find the balance, especially if you've never done this distance. Yeah. I've done a lot of half.
It's your first.
Half marathons. Done a lot of half marathons. Yeah. I know what to expect of myself at a half marathon. I know when I've pushed too hard. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to pace myself on a 56-mile bike ride to where I feel like I gave it my all, but not so much that now I can't go run a half. And that's what I think about a lot. And I don't really know. I haven't really looked into ways probably enough to figure out my pace or try and anticipate. And Chattanooga is not known for being, you know, a flat city either. So there's the elevation factor. Mm-hmm. I think it, you know.
Kind of hard to train for that here.
Yeah, and I will say one disappointment in my training. I selected Chattanooga so that I could do the real reason I selected Chattanooga is because it's downstream swim.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Everybody does that, I think, though. You look for that race where
So
mentally it can help you.
And the other big, huge factor was I could do the bulk of my training during the winter and when the girls were in school and we weren't doing family vacations and weekends away. Mm-hmm. That was the big factor. And so a lot of my biking has been indoors.
Yeah.
And I've really been pleased with my ability to increase mileage on the bike and speed indoors. Mm-hmm. And I have been somewhat frustrated with myself, disappointed that that hasn't translated as much as I thought it would outdoors. Mm-hmm. So I feel now that I'm getting outdoors a little bit like I'm at square one. Yeah. The elevation's a challenge for me outdoors. I love hills. I love hills. Right. I'm not saying I'm good at them.
Right.
I like the challenge, but I'm not a speed demon up there.
Right.
I just like the variation. I like the change in elevation. And so it'll be interesting. Yeah. I think it's hard. And even like a half marathon course that has a lot of elevation. Mm-hmm. You know, recently I did run the Bluegrass and I did great the first 10 miles if I could have crossed the finish line then. But I put too much, you know, I went out too fast. That's something I always struggle with. Maintaining that pace. Mm-hmm. I would love to get negative splits someday in a race and really have the discipline. But you'll have to run with me because you're a very disciplined runner and your pacing is amazing.
So. I think we are different in a lot of ways, but we are similar in a lot of ways too and how we approach things. And I think what you said earlier is key is that I want to cross the finish line. I want to feel well when I cross the finish line. And I also want to know that I did everything possible to have the best finish that I could. I don't want to leave anything, you know, what if I'd done this better?
Right.
You just take that, feel really good when you cross the finish line. Hopefully you meet goals that you set for yourself, whatever they are. And then you take all of that and go back and sit down and reflect and say, okay, if I'm going to do this again, here's what I'm going to do differently.
Yeah.
So you learn from it. But you do it in a way that you feel good about your finish. I never want to cross the finish line and be injured or feel like I had so much more in my tank.
That's the way, you know, and even
it's a hard medium to.
I PR'd at Urban Bourbon this year and finished with so much disappointment. And that's a horrible feeling. And that's just me. I mean, that's just me being hard on me.
Sure.
I set a PR.
Right.
I set the goal when I texted you that morning and I said, what is realistic for me? Mm-hmm. And you said 2:05. And then you asked how I did. I said, I'm so disappointed. Mm-hmm. You're like, well, what was your time? I said 2:05:37.
And you're like, meanwhile, I'm like, hot dang. I was
I started that race, I felt so good. And I was on target for a sub 2. Until mile 10. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know what happened. My legs felt really heavy. I did more nutrition during that race than I ever have in my life. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have anything left in the tank. Mm-hmm. And I walked a lot. And I just kept asking myself, am I going to regret this walking? Am I walking for the right reasons? Mm-hmm. Am I walking to prevent injury? Am I walking because truly I don't... And I felt like I needed to walk, and that's okay. There's mm-hmm. nothing wrong mm-hmm. with walking at mm-hmm. all. And I love...
And you still had a PR.
I did. Mm-hmm. We're so... I mean, I'm so hard on myself.
Right.
And so that's why I'm trying to go into Chattanooga with an open mind, you know? Yeah. Don't think I'm going to PR the half at the end.
I mean, like you said, it's a new experience. So there's always that you aren't sure if what the goal you're setting is appropriate because it is that first time.
Yeah, it's a bit,
You're going to do awesome. You're going to do amazing. Yeah. I wish I was there. Not you swimming,
can,
but.
You can come. You can certainly. I got room for you.
One of these days, I have to get a new bike first. So Allison knows that I'm looking for a new bike. This doesn't mean I'm signing up for 70.3. What it means is when I go ride with her, I'll be able to keep up with her. Oh, that's my goal. I have a 1999 Cannondale T1000. It's a beautiful bike. It's very nice.
Did you change gears during your first duathlon?
I did.
Okay.
I did. Not many.
Because she had the most... She had the most horrible experience on the bike, and I couldn't figure out why she hated biking so much until I got on her bike and realized she was in some gear that was too easy.
Yes.
Too easy. She was spinning her legs like crazy.
I wasn't going anywhere.
And not going anywhere. Yeah.
We fixed that.
We did fix it.
But my bike is very heavy. It's older. Heavy. It's actually a medium frame instead of a small frame. So I found out all these things. But I bought it because I just wanted to get out and ride with people and ride 12 miles in a race. Well, it turns out that duathlon was like 21 miles or something. But So anyway, it's fine. But I think you've definitely inspired me to...
Do a 70.3. It's here. It's on record. She's signing
no,
up.
No, I said get a new bike. You inspired me to get a new bike.
Yeah.
But that's so I can keep up with you guys. Because I do like to go fast. I like to run as fast as I can when I'm racing or with people that are running faster. I mean, I like to run fast. I do like to bike fast on a closed course. Open course still bothers me.
Yeah.
I mean, we did the open course and... a partial open course, and they were fine because there wasn't a lot of traffic. I think Louisville is overwhelming to me to
Louisville
ride on the road.
Is intimidating, you know. Being on the road it's intimidating. Mm-hmm. There, you see cars pass you and they're texting on their phones, and it's
We've had good friends that have been in accidents and have been hit, and
I've two this week. Yeah, so it's
not helpful to run with an OT either that specializes in like brain injury because what is a good thing because she checks my helmet to make sure it's right and we don't go downhill too fast and so that is helpful to have her with me. I know if I'm ever injured I'll be safe if I'm with her, like my helmet will be on right.
Yeah.
But, so you've inspired me to, and that's part of this, like, our friendship, I think, comes from a lot of, like, I have no clue. Well, when I first met you, I had no clue what you could do, but I still encouraged you because I felt like if you were here, you showed up, you ran with us, and at the end you were like, you ran with Becca and I, and who else was there?
Jill.
And Jill had, she had a slight injury, so she didn't run the whole way, but you were at the end, you were like, how do you all talk and run at the same time?
Because Becca and I were never stopped talking. And it was raining? Mm-hmm. Like, who runs in the rain? Why didn't we go back? We passed our cars to keep running in the rain.
Right.
And that's when pouring. I knew it wasn't raining.
It was pouring rain. It was not really raining.
Interesting people. Yeah. And they talked while they ran. They smiled. I think one of them had a skirt on. Mm-hmm. I'm like, who are these people?
Whole new world.
What is going on here?
Yeah. But you came back.
And I couldn't breathe. I could not talk.
You came back.
I came back.
That's when I knew you were special.
Special, right. And so I got faster running with Becca and with Stephanie. I mean, I challenged myself with them.
That's how I got faster.
They lit the fire to work on that. I'm not a fast... I mean, you know, I just got faster.
Right.
I'm not doing Boston next year, but... Right.
No, you did. You got really fast, really quick.
So...
Well, I'm excited that you stuck around and that now you're a chapter leader with me and... We go on all these adventures together. We're going to have more adventures this fall. together. But I hope you'll come back after your 70.3 and be on the podcast again, because everybody's going to want to know how you did and what you learned, and so you can impart your wisdom
right
to us. Would you do that?
Sure.
Okay.
I'll certainly do that.
All right. Well, thanks for coming out and talking with me.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. I feel so honored. I really do.
My husband found out he was not the first podcast
actually,
guest.
I just am happy that I got to be your guest before your husband.
He is sore about it.
I know. And I like that.
And we are going to have, probably the next podcast will be my husband. So he can kind of follow up on what you were talking about in terms of like just fine tuning your, you know, if you're not sure where to start, he'll give pointers on, you know, how to start. Because I think we all are at that point at some point where we're like, I don't even know to figure out what I'm doing wrong.
I'm still, I have a list of like 87 questions that I'm going to be texting friends and putting into triathlon groups and stuff to get answers for.
Yeah.
There's still so many things I don't know.
You'll have more after you cross the finish line probably than you do now.
And your husband's training for his first 70.3. So we have a few friendly wagers going on.
Yeah. I'm really excited about that because I'm not involved at all.
I don't know how this is going to turn out.
I'm excited for both of y'all.
I think the wagers are pretty simple. I think it has to do with cooking.
Yeah.
It's kind of lame, but...
I get to eat well. Either way. So I'm benefiting from this without having to swim, bike, or run, which is exciting. All right, Allison. Well, I hope we have just a great follow-up podcast and you can tell us all about your PRs and everything when you come back.
Oh, it's a PR.
All right.
For sure.
It already is.
Yeah.
See? We're starting out on positive.
Toe the line and finish.
Good luck in May.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Bluegrass Bammer podcast. If you like what you've heard, hit subscribe to the podcast so you can catch the next episode when it's live. Also, you can find me on my blog, that is bluegrassbammer.wordpress.com, or you can follow me at Bluegrass Bammer on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. See you next time, and until then, happy running.